If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of 1 Chronicles. Book of 1 Chronicles. We thank the Lord for the privilege to be in this meeting again. I know I've probably said this along the way somewhere. Old preacher years ago told me, Brother Wade Huntley, he pastored Holly Springs Baptist Church, almost 60 years before he died, he didn't believe in having multiple preachers in a service. He didn't think it was a good idea. He said only one of them will have a message. He said the other one just be a sermon. So we have heard two messages, and I'm coming with the sermon. So we thank the Lord for speaking very directly and very pointedly to our hearts this morning. We began here on Sunday morning looking at a thought that the Lord put in my heart several months ago. I couldn't shake it. The little thought of unknown here, but well known over there. And we've been looking at some Bible characters that were extremely unknown in their day. But son, they had lit it up over there. They were well known over there. Of course, in this day of networking and marketing ourselves, I am convinced this morning that it'll be extremely hard for us to be well known over there if we are well known over here. It'll be extremely hard. I had a dear man ask me some years ago, he said, I guess you spend most of your time every day trying to call preachers and book meetings. I said, no, I don't know nothing about it. I never have in 28 years called a preacher and asked him if I could come preach. I don't know how it all happened. I'm introverted, in the 10th grade on three different occasions. I love people, I just don't know if I like them or not. And here I preach from Alaska to Canada to Washington State. I don't know how all that happened. And a young boy asked me not long ago how to get started in evangelism. I don't know. Don't ask me. God was to cut it off today, I wouldn't know how to cut it back on. But if we're going to be well known over there, we're going to have to be extremely unknown here in this world. And we looked on Sunday morning at the little maid in Naaman's life. She was the unknown connector. Well, they didn't even give her a name in the Bible. But son, she lit it up on the other side. She put her hand of influence upon that pagan Gentile captain and put her hand of influence upon the Almighty God and brought the two of them together and made a sinner whiter than snow. And then on Sunday evening, we looked at Obadiah, the unknown provider. That man was the governor of Ahab and Jezebel's palace, and right under their blooming nose, he fed and watered 100 prophets while she was cutting preachers' heads off. Oh, didn't nobody know nothing about him? Son, he had lit it up on the other side. So we must decide today, do we want to be known here or do we want to be known over there? I want to look this morning in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 27 and verse number 28, and bring some thoughts this morning on Joash, the unknown keeper The Bible says in the latter part of verse 28, over the sellers of oil was Joash. Joash was in charge of all of David's sellers, S plural. There was more than one of them in his oil refinery. Oil in the Bible is a type of the Holy Ghost. I did not know if you noted or not. I hate to be the first to mention it to you, but if you are redeemed this morning, you too are a keeper of the oil of God. You are the vessel in which the Holy Ghost dwells. As we begin to unpack this man's life, the unknown keeper, I noticed the person of this keeper. His name was Joash. His name means Jehovah hastens about. The self-existent God of now. Not the God of yesterday or tomorrow. Oh no, he's never been the God of yesterday or tomorrow. He's always the God of now. If it happened a million years ago to him, it happened now. If it is to happen a million years from now to him, it's happening now. He lives in the now. It has the idea to assemble about. So Joash was a man who lived most of his life in secret. Very few even knew he existed. But he had the self-existent, eternal God encamped about him. I don't know about you, I'd rather have God on me than have the world to know who I am. Amen. He was one of David's appointed cabinet members. Thought it was interesting, if you have the Bible there, in 1 Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse number 9, Joash's daddy's name was Beecher. His name means a young, burden-bearing, long-distant camel. That is the heritage he come from. They go the distance and carry the load. Said they in 1 Chronicles 7, 9, they were mighty men of valor. They were champions, strong giants. You would think that would be someone David would put out front in his cabinet. Not to hide him away in a cellar. But that is exactly where he hid him away. David chose this man for probably the most important, hidden from the sight position in all of his kingdom. Majority of David's cabinet were positions of great honor and prestige, visible to the public. This man was unknown. It gives whole new meaning to me, to the words of the little song that Kitty Suffield wrote in the early 1900s. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it. You go in Jesus' name. I was reading not long ago about Kitty Suffield. It had always been her growing up days to be a renowned soprano singer. Maybe even sing one day in Carnegie Hall. She married an old dirt farmer from out west. She lived on an old dirt farm all of her married life. You would think it would have been a waste. She had a dear friend, used to come to her house often. He too wanted to be a singer. But every time he would sing, his voice would just fall apart, crack. She was playing for him one day, and she told him, she said, "I know what we need to do. We just need to lower it an octave." And when she did, oh, his voice was tremendous. You might have heard of him. George Beverly Shea. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. She encouraged him and his friend, Billy Graham, that they ought to take that ministry all over the world. Are you listening to me this morning? Oh, nobody knows Kitty Suffield. Heaven did. I'd imagine while she was talking to George Beverly Shea, heaven was ringing the bells. He was well known over there. Person of the keeping. I noticed the place of the keeping. The text says that he was over, that little word over there is overseer or keeper. The cellars, plural. Multiple of these places David had. Joash was over them all. So Joash, all of his work was done in secret. Out of the public eye. Ain't nobody ever give him one of these. He didn't know he existed. No one knew what he did. But probably the king knew what he did. He went to work every day underground, a dark, cold, damp, musty, dirty place where strange critters lurked, spiders and bugs and rats, to name but a few. Unknown to the world, oh, so well known to God. You say, how in the world do you, how do you know he was well known to God? Because the good Holy Ghost breathed his name into the historical writer to jot his name down in the Old Testament history book that would last through time and eternity. Oh, God has placed you in a little known place today. Shine! Heaven knows you're there. He don't pay off on Friday, but he shall pay. Just keep the oil in the lamp. Let it shine. Shine in the corner where God has placed you. I ran across this quote the other day. It just lit my soul up. Don't trim your lamp to make somebody else comfortable. Amen. You listening to me? Amen. Don't trim the lamp to make some other Baptist comfortable. Shine the light. Amen. The place of the keeper. But I noticed the possession of the keeping. Oil was a major item in Bible days. It was used for five different things. You have the Bible there this morning, Exodus chapter number 27. It was used for lighting. God has put the Holy Ghost oil inside of us. How come? Put it under a bushel? No! Let it shine. Let it shine. He says in Exodus chapter number 27 and verse 20, I shall command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. It was used to light the lamps in the temple, tabernacle, burning before the veil. It was used to light the homes. Oh, I was thinking the other day, you don't take much light to expel darkness. I remember years ago, of course, I've always been a fat boy all my life. My mom and daddy took me to Mammoth Cave. I was about 12 years old. And they told us before we started that they was going to go about 2 miles under the ground. And I was stupid, but I wasn't real stupid. I noticed the whole time going down, it was like this. And the only thing I could think of that coming back out was going to be like this. Little did I know they had an elevator coming back out. But they said that we were 1.75 miles under the ground. We was in a room. I don't want to lie evangelistically speaking, but I would say it was at least 10 times the size of this room we're in right now. It was underground. Old Smokey the Bear said that every year they choose a tour to do a test on. And when he said a test on, the lights went out. As a young boy, I realized for the first time what the old timers had said, man, it was so dark you could feel it. It's so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of you. And that's about where we're at spiritually today, from Washington to your house. It's so dark. Son, you listen to Fox News, it's done got so dark you can almost feel it. But I remember that old boy, he struck a match and he almost lit up that whole room. It didn't take much light. Oh, this morning, let our light so shine before God that they might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. I was thinking again this morning, old Charles Haddon Spurgeon was walking one evening about dark with one of his young preacher boys, and the lampster was lighting the evening lights. He asked the young preacher boy, he said, what do you see that man doing? He said, he looks like he's lighting lamps to me. He said, dear preacher, he said, what do you see? He said, I see a man punching a hole in the darkness. Oh, isn't that what God's called us to do, preachers? Punch a hole in the darkness. Trim your lamps to make people feel comfortable. It was used for lighting. It was used for cooking. 1 Kings 17, verse 12, the oil was used for cooking. I wonder how many people getting some oil for cooking ever went by one of the cellars and told Joash, man, we had a good meal last night. I sure appreciate you being the keeper of the oil. Oh, nobody ever went by there and applauded him. I was thinking again yesterday of the oftentimes thankless, thoughtless blessings I asked over food. Give no thought to it, almost robotic. Was used for cooking. I notice in Mark's gospel and also in James that it was used, as Brother Bobby said, he had some in his pocket. It was used for healing. oil is often used in a healing process of the sick. I wonder how many times we give all the credit to a doctor instead of the oil of the Holy Ghost living inside of us. I have been so reminded of that as of late. My wife and I have had a thrilling few months. Since December, we have both had COVID. She had knee surgery. I found her unresponsive in the bathroom without a pulse. 2 days after she had had surgery, she spent 6 days in the hospital with C. diff. If you don't know what it is, look it up. It's horrible. And a blood clot in her lung. And I had stage 3 carcinoma bladder cancer. And the year hasn't even got started good yet. But God is still good. The oil of the Holy Ghost often will teach you more than just to heal you. After I had my bladder cancer, I had told him before I went in, he suggested that he put a catheter in, and I told him, I said, oh, I don't need that, be fine. And that day after the surgery, I went home and felt pretty good till about 3 o'clock that afternoon, and I needed a catheter. And so I had to go back over there, and instead of getting one while I was asleep, I got one while I was awake. And by 9 o'clock that night, I was in the emergency room. It had gotten stopped up. Oh, the oil of the Holy Ghost living inside of me wanted me to learn some lessons. I came home and I began to have what they call bladder spasms. Never had anything like that before. I read an article said it is the closest thing that a man can have to a woman having a baby. Every time I would have one, I would scream at the top of my voice. It would come on suddenly without any warning, and they were horrible. One morning after screaming so loud that I even scared her and myself, the good oil of the Holy Ghost living inside of me whispered and said, Jesus didn't act like that when he was going through his pain. And he suggested to me to get my psalm book out, and every time one of the bladder spasms start, to sing. What do you want to do that for? Take my eyes off the temporal, put my eyes on the eternal. One of my favorite songs that I would sing is, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the King. I had gone over to see my PA. She was going to take the catheter out. She's a dear black lady, loves the Lord. She stuck her head in the door. She said, Lord, have mercy. She said, I was wondering what has happened to my preacher man since he got his cancer taken out. Well, about the time she stuck her head in the door, I was having one of them bladder spasms. And Beth and I had struck out in a verse of, oh, come, let us adore him. And in that black African voice, she stuck her head in and she started singing, oh, come, let us adore. What in the world are y'all doing down in the urologist's office? We've taken our eyes off the temporal and putting our eyes on the eternal. Amen. Said it help you with your pain? No. but I felt like heaven was taking notice of it. You listening to me this morning? Talking about Joash, the person of the keeper, place, possessions. I noticed the presence for the keeper. Joash was over the security and distribution of all of David's oil. One old writer said that it was probably King David's Fort Knox. Probably brought more revenue into his kingdom than anything he had. I wonder how often Joash would be visited by the presence of King David to discuss the oil and the distribution. The world may not know you this morning, but if he has put the oil of the good Holy Ghost inside of you, you can rest assured the King is coming by quite often to check on the distribution of his oil. Oh, we have his abiding presence. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but I love it every now and then. We will have his manifested presence. He himself will come by. Amen. What's he doing? Oh, he's checking up on his oil. I noticed the power of this keeping. Two other things oil was used for. It was used for sacrificing. It would always be poured upon the Old Testament sacrifice. You do realize that you and I as preachers are preaching to the group that are the 10 virgins of Matthew chapter 25. They heard the midnight cry. The bridegroom's coming. They all 10 jumped up, trimmed the lamps. 5 of them saw they had oil in it. 5 of them were shocked and had oil in their lamp. How come? Lost. Didn't know it. On the way to hell, didn't know it. They so crazy. They asked him if they could borrow some. You can't borrow no Holy Ghost. Either got it or you ain't got it. They couldn't borrow none, so we just go buy some. While they were gone, he come. And he shut the door. Oh, we better be promoting the light of the Holy Ghost. Old B.R. Lakin said years ago that he believed that 50% of the people in our Baptist churches were lost and on the way to hell. I believe B.R. Lakin was wrong about that. I believe it's far greater number than that. He said there's 2 reasons why they's lost. He said, 1, they's lost and didn't know it. You can't know you're lost till God shows it to you. I believe Baptist church is full of people saved, ain't never been lost. You can't get saved, you get lost. Old B.R. Lakin said the other reason they's lost, wouldn't admit it. Wouldn't admit it. Oh, we need to take that light, punch a hole in that darkness. Sacrificial oil. It was used for anointing. First thing Samuel did with David, he poured that oil upon his head. Special service. Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. I graduated from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. I didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. I don't know. They taught me over there. Maybe the same thing taught you. You get all the Holy Ghost you're going to get when you get saved. That's what they taught me. I'm glad Jesus didn't take that course over there that messed him all up. Because he said, I'm not talking about Bob Jones University. I'm talking about Jesus. He said, how much more shall he give the Spirit to them that asked him? So there must be more of him. I remember after preaching 10 years, first time God ever filled me with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, preachers this morning, singers, if you've never had an experience with the Holy Ghost, but had been filled with the Holy Ghost, I would quit doing everything you're doing because it's the letter of the law, kill everything it touches. That little word, feel, it is a word for a container. I always thought God would fill the container up. The overflow would help everybody else. But the little word feel there is a container with no bottom. No world would want a container with no bottom in it. It's had the bottom kicked out of it. If you kick the bottom in out of a container, that means you're going to empty everything out of the container. That's exactly what he did to me one night up in Saluda, North Carolina. He kicked the bottom end out of me. Emptied me of my stinking self. Then he could take me and baptize me and immerse me in the Holy Ghost, and he would flow freely through me. Amen. Amen. I asked you tonight, this morning, have you ever had anything like that happen to you? Another word that pictured in the word field is a boat out on life's sea. Person on the boat has the rudder. He is directing his own boat. He's deciding where his boat will go. Storm comes up. The boat begins to be taken over by water. Water is a picture of the Word of God. Begins to be taken over by wind. Wind is a type of the Holy Ghost. And the person in the boat loses control of the rudder. He's no longer in control of his boat. His boat's now being controlled by the water of the Word and the wind of the Holy Ghost. Has there ever been a clear-cut time when you lost control of the rudder? And the boat is no longer under your control, but it is under his control. It is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I was wondering about Joash. I wondered during his time with the keeper of the cellars how often he would come home and have that oil all over his hands. Wife would say, man, awful shiny today, honey. So you even got it all over your face. It's all over your clothes. I can smell it everywhere. Oh, it'd be wonderful. We could get so immersed in the Holy Ghost that he's all over us. I know I've told this story before, but I wanted to hear it again. My wife taught kindergarten for 19 years. A little girl in her class in K-5, she's got kids now of her own. She's a school teacher herself. One day after lunch, my wife noticed out of the corner of her eyes that little girl was sitting there doing this. Of course, you see a five-year-old smelling the hands, you don't know where in the world the hands have been. And she very abruptly told us, she said, you only want to go wash your hands? She said, oh, no, ma'am. She said, we went out on the playground this morning and I held your hand. She said, I still smell you on my hands. Wouldn't it be good this morning we get so full of the Holy Ghost? We get ready to lay down at night. Man, I'm getting a whiff of Jesus. I'm getting a whiff of the Holy Ghost. He's just reeking from me. Oh, don't dim your light to make others comfortable. Oh, preacher, blow a hole, punch a hole in the darkness. Let the light shine. The old songwriter said it right when he said, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning till the break of day. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord, so fill us today. Fill our lamps with the oil of the Holy Ghost. Keep us burning till the break of day and the day star appears. Oh, Joash, and nobody know anything about him. He's in a cellar. But I tell you what, he made a mark on heaven. He was ringing the bells over there. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're standing to our feet this morning. Brother gonna come around and play us a little something on the instrument this morning. They want to sing something, it's fine. You had that cross on your mind? Found yourself to be poor in spirit or uppity in spirit? Sir, you ever had the bottom end kicked out of you, emptied of your stinking self, filled with the Holy Ghost? You ever lost control of the ship? A good morning to root you out a place in this altar and ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. I don't care what you call it. You call it second, whatever you want to call it. I just know you won't ever amount to ringing heaven's bell. You've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Unknown here, well known over there. Altar's open while they're playing this morning. Need some help. Maybe you're lost. Come, bow, and ask God to save you. While we wait a few moments, do whatever God tells you to do.